Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, I'm Paco Romaine.
And I'm George Chen, and you're listening to SupDoc. It's a show where we talk to our interesting friends from the world of comedy, writing, TV, and film about their favorite documentaries.
And today's episode starts our Mayhem Month, where each episode is a true crime documentary.
And for today, we sat down with the comedian Allison Mick to talk about Interview with the Serial Killer.
And incidentally, Allison grew up in the city where Arthur Shawcross was killing people and even grew up near the house he lived in.
Too creepy for me.
And now, here's our talk with Allison.
Well, we're at the home of comedian Allison Mick. Hi, Allison.
Hi, guys. Thanks for coming to my house.
Well, thank you for being so hospitable. You've baked
just delicious
a new bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried, we're drinking a new LaCroix that I haven't tried.
Oh, what's the flavor?
This is peach pear.
Oh, that's, nice.
We'll save that for our LaCroix podcast.
Kasim Bentley,
six episodes.
Who's been on this podcast, said LaCroix tastes like the water you wash your fruit in.
Yeah.
I think that's
it's very subtle.
Yeah, it was a peach and a pear this time. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
man.
So let's just talk about the fact that, like, we're going to talk about a crazy serial killer. But let's just talk about, Allison, you've been a fan of murder culture. I don't know if that's the right word.
A true crime enthusiast.
Let's say that's what it is. Yeah. And
because there's a lot of cool ones that aren't murders.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Serial killers.
That is true.
What do you mean, like the almost got away?
Like cult ones are really cool.
That counts as true crime to you?
I mean, like, it's fraud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think I have not thought of fraud or con in the same terms this serial killer stuff.
Con artists are the best.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
The
too.
Imposter.
They know more about people than
the
people.
The imposter
know about
is a great
people.
Doc.
Okay. So, but
the imposter's so good.
But you picked Interview with a Serial Killer.
Hell yeah, I did.
Allison. And
can I swear?
Yes, yeah. You can. Okay. Fuck yeah, you can. Yeah,
it's a podcast.
Yeah.
You saw that I posted on my Facebook and then. Hayden was like, oh, yeah, Allison, she tagged Allison.
He tagged me.
Like, Allison is the one to talk to.
Because he's
this.
Tired of me talking about it to him.
That's how, that, and now you've made your way down to our podcast. With, that. With your
made my
your
way
topic.
Down from listening to other podcasts about murder.
So I'm interested, why was this something that...
Yeah, or how would you pitch this to a friend?
Yes.
Like, why watch Interview with the Serial Killer?
So there's this guy that killed 11 women in 2 years while he was living 4 blocks from me and throwing them in the river where they make the beer that I drank. And, like, not at the time I was 4, but, like,
right.
It's just crazy. And also the guy that put him away used to be my boss for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a very specific connection.
That is a very specific...
A couple of them.
Yeah.
So that's right. We're talking about Rochester, New York.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Rashter.
What's that?
Rashter. That's how they
Rashter?
All said it. In the, I'm not sure if you picked up on the huge accent everyone has in that movie. It's crazy. I took many years to shed that accent.
There is a very typical Northern New York accent.
It's a Great Lakes shift. Oh, yeah, you're from Michigan. The Great Lakes vowel shift.
You're right, because we were talking about that on our last live episode, the Northern Cities vowel shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which I guess goes out to Buffalo. Was Rochester close to Buffalo?
It goes
basically?
To Syracuse, mm-hmm. all the way around the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. To like Wisconsin on the other side.
So you mm-hmm. should have understand her when she said Rashter, right?
Oh now. Yeah.
But Rashter. It doesn't sound like words. He's used to talking to someone who says words.
But I've also shed my vowel shift.
You have
from
to, otherwise people think you're super dumb.
Yeah, yeah, that is true.
Guys, you can revert for this podcast.
Or just
I'm not
folksy.
Judge.
Folksy.
I will judge.
Oh, so
will
folksy. Judge.
But so you grew up in Rochester, and
yeah.
Did you start comedy there?
No, I started comedy here when I moved here about 4 years ago.
And here being Oakland or
San Francisco Bay Area.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You moved into this house pretty much 4 years ago, though, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought you started before that. No, you didn't start. You started pretty much just 4 years ago.
I started, yeah. First open mic was in L.A. over on Black Friday, and then came up here, did the Brainwash the next week.
And so you went to law school?
Yes.
Where?
Northeastern University School of Law in Boston.
Oh, nice. And you... Did you graduate? JD?
I did.
Oh, awesome.
But I was really bad at it, and they just kept not kicking me out, even though I was failing all my classes.
Yeah.
Because they really like having my money.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, they really like having Sally Mae's money, and then Sally Mae likes calling me seven times a day.
Yeah, they do. They're pretty good at getting their money back. But so
they're trying.
Did you practice? Did you ever take the bar?
If you become a comedian, that will help.
Yeah.
Sally Mae from getting their money
they
back.
Should just turn and run once they see that. Greg Giraldo, another lawyer, turned. I think there's a bunch.
He was. He went to Harvard Law, and he worked for Wachtell, which is like one of the biggest firms in the world.
Whoa.
He's a super smart guy. Yeah.
Super smart guy, dear.
There's a lot
Guy Branum.
Guy Branum
has a law degree.
Yes.
I don't know how much he practiced. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
He started stand-up here, though.
There's a lot of people that went to... Stephanie Silverman, Dash, like...
Dash went to law school?
At Berkeley.
I did not know that.
Much better law school than Northeastern.
Yeah.
Northeastern upstairs Boston Law School?
Pretty much.
But I have a friend who also went to law school and was working for a judge here. So when you were working for the guy that you worked for, we should explain who the guy you worked for was.
Oh, Judge Siragusa. Charles Siragusa was the U.S. attorney, or assistant U.S. attorney, who put away Shawcross. But like, it was kind of a slam dunk. Like, they already had a they had 11 confessions.
Did the FBI get involved, right?
The FBI was involved right after, like, the third one.
Because
they're like, oh, we've definitely got a serial killer. And,
right.
Like, Rochester has had enough of those.
Well, Rochester has its share of serial killers. And you just happened to grow up near one.
Yeah. Also, it's the murder capital of New York State.
Really?
Yeah.
More than New York City?
Per capita.
Oh, per capita.
Yeah.
What is going on in Rochester?
Kodak shut down and everyone started selling meth.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. What size? I mean, what's
it's
population?
About a million people.
Oh, it's that
the
big.
Greater Rochester area. The city itself is like maybe 400,000.
Okay.
But it's like Chicago where it's surrounded by all these suburbs.
Right.
And then like I'm from Penfield, but I say I'm from Rochester.
Right.
Mm-mm. It's amazing there, except I slipped and fell on the ice like a bunch of times.
Ugh.
That's not fun.
No. Ice, that's what kept me from ever moving back to Michigan.
Ice, slush, ice. Like why?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be this way?
Is that why people are killing people? You said because it's cold. That's like a one way to get your...
It's also part, like that's kind of like the culture of just like, it's cold and like it explains everything.
Right.
Like
your emotions are kind of wrapped up inside your scarves.
Kinda.
And repressed.
People are really funny there.
Uh-huh.
Like Barry Crimmins is from nearby and like...
The whole northern states is full of funny people.
Yeah, because you got to do something.
Shawcross was born in Maine. I don't know if that throws it.
He's from Watertown, New York.
Oh, okay. I thought he was born in Maine.
Can you explain what's the distance between Watertown and Rochester? Because they don't really explain it.
Yeah, they also say Rochester's 30 miles from the Canadian border, but that's like if you go in a boat.
Right.
Up,
okay.
Watertown is like, so New York State has that little lake. Peak
right
on the side of it. Watertown is on that upper peninsula.
So distance from Rochester?
About 100 miles.
Mm.
A couple hours.
That's a little further than I thought.
I'm just skipping ahead. Shawcross like ran away to Canada when he was a kid also.
That's what he said.
It's super close like 2 hours too.
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah, when he was like 14 or something. Mm-hmm. But so let's start with Watertown because apparently his first killings were there.
Yeah.
And then they're the most horrific, I guess. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to put a scale on fucking murder, but because they're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about at least a little bit like how the film, because the film doesn't even get to that stuff till about half hour in. So you kind of just get this general overview of this creepy dude being interviewed from prison by this British filmmaker named Chris Martin.
Who's like really trying to get under his skin.
And it's got these annoying commercial breaks, which is weird because it's a BBC production. Because do you notice that? There's a thing. There's be like little cliffhanger moments. It'll be like, bing, and then like the music kicks in again. And like, yeah, he'll repeat what
I
he
really
just
hated
said.
The music.
Yeah, the music was like, very bad.
And they also used the same B-roll shot of the river like three
so many times.
It's like that river is like 100 miles long. You could have gotten a couple more B-roll shots.
Only like 5 miles of it is in...
Yeah, the I'm glad you pointed out the music because I even wrote down like music by Jesper Madsen.
Well, as soon as you turn it on, it's just like it's
this one guitar line that's like very like it's meant to be like I think it's like it's just repeated a lot.
I think it might be public domain because I have I feel like I've heard that same guitar line in.
In Making a Murderer, is there's a guitar line that's similar? Maybe
I was gonna say like a homemade one that I saw on Amazon about the West Memphis Three.
Okay, someone made their own. What like?
There's a lot of homemade documentaries on Amazon, and they're all horrible.
Oh yeah. Well, this one's just a little bit better than those. I thought like
just
a little. It pales in comparison to Making a Murderer, which is a phenomenally well made film.
Yeah, I don't know why people would say that they are in the same category. Even
they're
really.
Not. They're not even close.
I mean, it's also.
Also,
Stephen Avery,
no...
even if he was guilty, was not technically a serial killer.
And there's no doubt about this guy.
Yeah. Right, yeah,
he
confessed.
Confessed to a bunch of stuff.
The creepiest thing about this entire documentary is him. And having to...
So gross!
So blinky.
I mean, outside of the serial killing and all the bullshit that he did, harmful, horrible stuff, having to watch him speak...
Yeah, yeah. It's...
Was just...
I don't even understand how he had four wives.
Yeah, right. What? And a mistress.
And apparently...
I can't even go out on a date. this guy is a serial killer. He's been married.
It was the old times. You just... Yeah. You had to.
Yeah.
But let's get back to what you're saying, George, about how they made the...
The structure,
doc,
yeah.
The structure.
Like there's some reveals. Like, this reveal about his I guess his, like, education. The miseducation of Arthur Shawcross, if you would. He did quit school and run away to Canada. We sort of like know he's in jail already. This starts out, we know this guy's in jail, and then there's this reveal, like almost like, oh, well, there was a way that some of this could have been prevented,
right?
And it was like maybe because of the flaws in the criminal justice system, but we don't get quite there until. We all hear a bunch of grisly stuff.
Yeah.
This is a very grisly one. I mean, honestly, if you like... People just like hearing about this murder stuff.
Yep.
It's grisly, and we'll give you a little bit of a taste of it. I mean, but they don't get... They don't even show really body parts or anything.
Yeah, whenever they do the crime scene photo, they're like, oh, and her feet were sticking out. And
I didn't
they show
it.
I couldn't find
I couldn't see
it. I paused it. Couldn't see it.
Didn't see no feet.
Yeah.
But then the description was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, oh, well, her basically, yeah, like there was dirt shoved in her mouth. Oh, stuff like that.
Geez, yeah.
So it does seem like he even seems to, like Shawcross himself, seems to have a little bit of a barrier around talking about killing children.
Yes.
And so, which is weird because it doesn't seem like he has any... regrets about anything he's done per
he's
se.
Like, I ate hookers' vaginas and
four of them apparently.
Yeah.
That I
was
had
the story
to rewind
I had heard
that
growing
line.
Up.
Really?
Yeah, that was the thing that we all knew about him is that like he ate these hookers' vaginas because he thought he had AIDS and he was trying to like accelerate dying from AIDS. And then this documentary was like, "Oh, yeah, he like pretty much just made that up."
Yeah, it seems like he made it up. But also, when he said it, I paused it and just had to listen to it again. Because I'm like, I've never heard that sentence said by a person
no,
ever.
No, that is not a so sentence you'll hear very often.
I wish I could unhear it. It's been 20 years.
It's pretty... I was like, did I actually hear... Okay, that's what he said. All right.
What's pretty incredible is his killing spree was 2 years. Like, that's...
11 people in
11
2 years.
People in 2 years. And
those are good numbers for any... thing that takes that much effort and likelihood of getting caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? So the years were
not good. Good.
2006.
Oh no.
Or
89.
I mean,
88 through 90. He was arrested.
He got
90.
Caught in 89.
He got caught in 89. Arrested and or went to jail in 90. Right.
Yeah.
Or I
it
mean,
was like
was
December,
jail.
January.
He'd be in jail.
So for those who haven't seen this doc yet, it's basically a talking head documentary. I mean, they basically sit and talk to one giant head with a white t-shirt on.
One big old head.
With a frowny face drawn on it.
Yeah.
And he has like Tourette's or something. Like he has some neurological eye.
I feel like that had to have come later because when they were saying when they were looking for him, that they thought it was going to be a weird guy. Like if he had that like rah, 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 thing, that's.
Yeah, but when they showed court footage of him, he's a little bit blinky. There's some court footage of him,
okay.
I think, in this, and when he's getting the 250-year sentence, he's kind of blinky, and I think it's gotten worse. And also, there is indication, they're like, seems like there's some head trauma stuff going on. There's like this one angle in this doc that talks about just like, what are the three factors that lead people to do this? Like some combination of head trauma, abuse, and so like nature nurture kind of stuff. There was a third element that I'm kind of, the abuse, head trauma.
And just mental.
Maybe general mental illness. They were saying maybe he had some episode in Vietnam, but even that seems to have been debunked. Like the stuff he says about Vietnam.
Oh my God. That was so fucked up.
Pretty made up.
Yeah.
Because and then Siragusa comes out and is like, yeah, none of that's true.
Yeah, because he talks about like cooking a woman that he cut in half.
On a one-man mission.
On a one-man mission with like a flare. And then using that to intimidate.
Using C4 explosive.
Yeah. I'm like, that doesn't just burn.
I've seen movies. Yeah. I know that I it doesn't C4. Turn into a miniature sun.
Yeah, it's not.
What
it's,
is that?
Yeah, those are the things we would use at catering to like.
Yeah. Sternos?
Sternos. Like, I was picturing like a little sterno. And then he's like, oh, yeah, then I got the other lady to tell me stuff. And then presumably he killed and ate her also.
Right.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Because he beheaded and then ate the one lady with the four AK-47s strapped to her shoulder in order to get information from her other friend, who I guess then he ate as well. And then he went back to his CO, who said, oh, I don't agree with your politics, sir, but I like the cut of your jib, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Like,
you're a wild card, McGillicuddy. Yeah.
Hand in your badge and your gun.
You're a loose cannon. Like, God damn it, if you don't get results.
Yeah, no, that all seemed to be bullshit.
Yes.
You were saying that even people in bars... Did you know people in bars that had been the age...
Well, I was a child, so I knew their generation. Dads.
Your dad knew, or your someone...
My friends, a kid I went to elementary school with, their dad claimed to have been a drink... Like, drank at the same bar as Shawcross. But this was also, like, 4 years after he went away, so he was still I'm not saying everyone from Western New York is a big fucking liar, but, like, we like to spin a yarn.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... Well, I mean, it's like... You never... I mean, he's being interviewed, and every story you have to take with a grain of salt. Even up to where he's talking about he was wearing shiny shoes, so the detectives thought he was... The undercover cops thought he was another cop and divulged information to him.
Until somebody else verified that, I was like, oh, this is weird. Because he just, like, wants to make himself seem like this master criminal. It's just like, oh, I was, like, outsmarting them at every turn. It's like, no, you were alone in a booth at Dunkin' and, like, overhearing them talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his justifications for some of the killings don't seem to have any more depth to them other than, well, I like killing prostitutes and I was angry.
Yeah.
That's, like, there's no, like, real... So there's a profiler that one of the talking heads who's I looked him up and he's in a bunch of different documentaries and stuff. He's an FBI profiler. He's a behavioral criminology guy. That's Greg McCrary. Like I looked him up, I found something he had written back in like 96 about the JonBenet case. So there was another interview he did for NBC.
It, right?
He just knew there was. I'm actually super not familiar with the JonBenet case, but he was talking about the ransom letter and how it seemed made up.
It's 4 pages long.
Is it a 4-page ransom
letter? It's 4 pages long in handwriting that matches the mom's handwriting and asks for the exact amount of money that the dad got as a Christmas bonus.
Written
it's
on
like $18,346.04.
Written on paper from their house with a pen from their house.
Oh,
really? Left on the stairs. Left on the stairs.
Yeah, left on the stairs, right.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, I just seems
you don't need to be Greg McCrary.
No, you don't.
I mean, look, I'm no Greg McCrary over here.
Even Arthur Shawcross could have figured that one out. It just, I mean, I feel like the young brother took a flashlight to JonBenet out of a fit of anger, and they're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now what are we going to do?
Yeah. We got to do an episode.
Christmas is tomorrow. Yeah. We got to clean this up.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Oh, man. So basically, you see him talking. You don't see the director. You hear his British accent. And he kind of tries to goad him, tries to bait him a little
bit.
And he asks him a lot, like, why did you do it? What was going on in your head? And basically, mm-hmm. Arthur's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, had a flash of anger.
I'm a dumb. I don't know nothing.
Right.
Yeah. But also, I'm like weirdly a predator. I'm just a natural at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got away. Like, I'm a real celebrity in the prison.
Right. Yeah. I mean, those kind of types, man, that's just like, it's a lot of times it just seems like it's notoriety bound, you know? Like,
For him to make up that other stuff, like, years after he's been
adding
given
to his
sentence,
own mythology.
Yeah. Like, it seems like he added all that stuff about eating the vaginas.
Yeah.
I just really
can't
even say
that. Scared a generation of school children.
Oh my God.
Into staying away from the river.
Yeah, like just having, you had a boogeyman growing up. Like, I didn't have like a local boogeyman.
And I see a woman in her 30s is coming down this hill carrying two AKs on this side and two AKs on this side, barrel down. So I reach over my shoulder like this, right behind my neck, and I pull out a brand new machete. When she backed out, and I come up behind her, and took her head right there. It took a couple of hits, but the head came off. She body dropped to the ground. She just bled out.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hey, listeners, are you looking for a new source of documentaries? I know I am.
Well, guess what? There's an app for that. It's called GuideDoc.
Discover and watch the world's best hand-picked and award-winning docs from around the globe. A new must-see documentary each day.
Here's a doc I just found called Skatistan. It's about a nonprofit organization bringing skateboarding to kids in war-torn Kabul.
You can sign up through the app in the iTunes App Store and stream all GuideDoc movies for one low monthly subscription of just $4.99.
Go to GuideDoc.tv/SupDoc and enter your email address for a chance to get a free month of GuideDoc.
And now, back to SupDoc.
Let me ask you, Allison, as a former attorney, what did you think? What do you think about reduced charges and deals and plea deals? Like, because they talk about the Watertown murders of Karen Hill and Jack Blake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he told them where Jack's body was, so he got a reduced sentence. What do you think about
that? That's astounding to me.
Yeah,
like I never practiced, and I definitely didn't do anything with criminal law, but like, murder plus murder shouldn't equal one manslaughter.
Yeah,
like,
that doesn't make sense.
That's, if anything, like, second degree murder, like something, there's got to be something between double murder and like...
To children.
Yeah. Like, and he got paroled like so fast and then moved out of town. And the worst part is that the parole system wasn't good enough, or wasn't advanced enough, that he was living in Rochester killing women for like a year before he had his first check-in with his parole officer.
Really? Yeah, right. Like no check-ins. Yeah. In 88, I guess.
Yeah.
So he got a 25-year sentence, pleaded, and got out in 15.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then immediately started killing prostitutes.
Immediately.
Well, like, got a girlfriend and like a fourth
got
wife.
Got married
and
then, again. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on in that cheese factory?
I don't know.
The cheese factory. That's right. I forgot that detail.
Yeah.
What cheese is
I
that?
I looked I'd be up worried cheese about factory that cheese. Rochester because like, I don't remember a cheese factory. And it just kept bringing up the cheesecake factory in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. That would.
Closed cheese factory? They're like, they're closed on Sundays.
I could see him working at a cheesecake factory. But like that just to me, like, I mean, I could now, let's say you're the parent and the DA comes to you and says, listen, we can tell you where your son is. We can get the location from him or we can let him go to prison forever. Like, what would you pick, I guess, you know, like if you're faced with that? It's like,
but it's not the parents'
it's
decision.
It's not the parents' decision, right?
It's the prosecutor's decision. Like,
so why would the prosecutor go for a plea bargain?
Closure. Or I don't even know. Like, it's...
With a child murder, it just might have been, like, so... They just needed to... Because
then I guess
weird.
You have...
Because it's...
Definitively one child murderer behind bars.
Right.
Instead of one guy that killed a kid in jail and we don't know who killed the other kid. And, like,
right,
they could still be out there. And, like...
Right.
Could be an election year, like.
So they had evidence on the first one. They didn't have any evidence for the second one. So they just knew he was missing. Yeah, they just had to go off him telling them where the body was, and then he's like, "You tell us where it is, we're not going to charge you with this murder."
Yeah,
that
basically, really he got manslaughter.
So fucking crazy to me.
Even in like 74, 73,
72, maybe
72 was when the murder happened. Yeah, so yeah. This case is probably 73.
That's insane.
Yeah, it
and
does
like,
not make sense.
Then, like, I'm mad about it. Judge Siragusa was mad about it. He's like, if he had gone away for these, he wouldn't have killed 11 women in Rochester.
Exactly.
And it's so true. Like, it's,
yeah. I mean, it doesn't, and it seems like this is a thing where some people, I mean, like, yeah, there's a lot of, we could talk about, like, it's weird because I'm not in general, like, let's just throw people in jail, right? But like in the case of someone who's like, proven to have a mental disorder where he will just do this.
Well, they didn't know about that back in the 70s.
They also didn't know
they
about
that like,
in the
70s. They were like, if you set fires and wet your bed, you're a murderer.
Yeah, they didn't know that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like he's got, like, real... I mean, there is a guy... Okay, so then there's another guy, there's another expert in this thing who was talking about, like, that... You get to see a lot of brain scans.
Yeah, yes. The neurologist guy.
Yeah, and I'm trying to... See if
did
I
they actually
the
say if the now this is interesting? Did they ever actually say those were his brain scans, or were those just like?
I think that was implied.
It looks like
our
could have been just from like Getty Images or something.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it seemed like it was.
Yeah, based on where the music came from, you're right.
Yeah,
that probably also came from some weird like mill like library.
Right.
You pause images. And close in, and it says Getty Images in the corner.
Yeah. So what did you think about that expert that talked about like head injury?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like with a filmmaker just started to be like, okay, there was some evidence about this, but. This guy seemed to know what he was doing. And he seemed to really push this thing. I'm like, yeah, he knew he was doing something wrong. Therefore, he shouldn't have had an insanity plea. That was basically... Or this idea that there was a female witness who was saying he was having these blackouts.
Yale?
Yeah. Like, he was having
blackouts.
He played
her like a fiddle. She got played.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my mom touched... Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing when he was talking to her. Like... That fake hypnosis thing. Like,
yeah, that seems
one hypnosis is fake, and two, he was playing.
I can't believe they actually used hypnosis. I mean, that's not admissible, is it?
Even like in 80, even in 90.
I don't know if it is, but
that just seems so odd that they would use hypnosis.
Yeah,
as like evidence of anything.
To the, I don't know if it. Yeah, I guess they could have shown it to a jury. I don't know, but yeah, like it did seem like. There was. It's true, though, probably, and that a lot of people that are end up doing these things have a history of violence in their families. That seems like that's true.
The head trauma thing is also really huge.
The head trauma thing is a huge thing. As someone who listens to My Favorite Murder,
they talk
this
about
up
it
a lot.
All the time.
Like head injury.
If your kid
and
gets hit in the head,
acting.
Send them back.
Yeah, there's something that is related to your impulse control. Some
right.
And the fact that he couldn't explain why he did any of these things. he had no like real justification for why.
Because he likes killing.
He likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he talked about murdering one woman with just one hand, like choking her with one hand. Like it was
his
getting
left
to...
hand too.
Yeah, in his left hand. Yeah. Didn't even use my dominant hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes the attention. He loves murdering people. Like.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking kill this guy already.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead. But
yeah. That, it was taken care of by, like, I think a maybe like a thrombosis, right? It was like a leg thing.
Probably.
Or, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder why he thought he had AIDS. They never even really got into that.
It like, seems like he made that up like, yeah. after he was in jail.
Yeah. Well,
he was having a lot of sex, it seems like.
Yeah.
Between
but
having
he didn't
four
have
wives.
HIV at all.
Yeah.
They tested him when he entered prison.
Right.
And, oh, God, what a yeah. fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Oh, there was a one thing I just read that's not mentioned in here at all. He had a biological son with his first wife. And yeah. then he did just, she divorced him because he was crazy and violent. And he never had a relationship with the son.
It's like Charlie Manson's son.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Charlie Manson has a son from his first wife. Mm-hmm. When they got divorced, she moved away and changed their names.
Okay. So she knew. And that's why it's surprising. I want to kind of skip to this part because this surprising twist does happen in this doc.
Finally, I was waiting for something to like. I mean, it's a horrific story, but as far as filmmaking goes, I was like, come on, like
that's pretty gruesome. Yeah. But yeah, they introduced that, and they show of this woman is a still photo that's like a photo booth photo. I guess I didn't.
With her like deeply tragic eyebrow situation.
Yeah. So he met someone in Hawaii. Was that
when he was on leave from the army?
Yeah. Army thing. So he had a fling and had a daughter that he did not know about. And this daughter found him in, I guess, the 2000s, 2001, 2002 time period. And I guess wanted to meet him. I would be a little bit, if like you got away with not having the same last name as this dude, you could pretty much avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you wanted to, she chose to try and form a relationship with Arthur Shawcross.
Cash in.
Okay. So that's what your take on it is?
She seems like, even like,
there's some other stuff that we found about her.
Yeah.
Her name is Margaret Deming, Maggie Deming. And she is the, I guess, biological offspring of Shawcross.
Right.
Yeah. Or is she?
Well, that's the other bizarre question. When we found, I sent you this blog post I found. God, what's the name of it? Like cake or something. You have to look up Margaret
Cake
Demme.
And cooking.
Yeah.
I was really.
Very weird comment.
I thought you sent me the wrong thing.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, what is this?
Like, well, you know, it's like,
then
a
you're like, comments,
blog,
read the comments.
Booking blog about murder. The comments are nuts.
It's a cake
okay, so
baked
can you read
in Brooklyn.
This? Can you read out that comment? Okay. A cake bakes in Brooklyn is the .com. And someone posted about, there was a story about Margaret Deming in, I think, the New York. Was a bit in the New York Daily News about how she shoplifted and got arrested, but she had seven children to feed. And so then a lot of people started donating food to Margaret Deming. And then someone brought up on this blog post, oh, it turns out Margaret Deming is also the biological daughter of Arthur Shawcross, the Genesee River Killer. And then they asked this question, which I wouldn't have phrased this like this. Does biology genetics determine destiny in this criminal... In this case, criminal behavior. Is Margaret Deming doomed by her family history? Well, she stole some bread.
Yeah.
I think that's like not really the same problem. But so that's brought up. And then.
But a lot of killers do start out with petty crimes, but as when they're children, not.
Right, right.
Okay. And this is
10
like.
10 years after they found out their dad's a murderer.
This is a post from June 2016. And
can you imagine if you're like, now I'm going to start?
Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's real. And I'm really not sure who this quote-unquote Jessica actually is, but it'd be a pretty elaborate... It's a pretty elaborate thing to make up. So it's possible someone believes this. Jessica. Hi, I am engaged to Sean Deming, number 3 of Maggie's 7 children. Without causing too much uproar on an internet comment on a blog post, I just wanted to clarify some details. Maggie met Arthur when he was in prison, sometime around the mid to late 90s. While studying to get her degree in psychology, she was interviewing him for a paper she had to write. Over the course of the interviews, they became very close, and she even brought some of the kids to meet him. I don't know all of the details, but over a period of time, he asked Maggie if he could adopt her, and she said yes. Whether it was because she felt sorry for him or genuinely cared for him, I don't know. Maggie and my fiancé's family have had a very hard life, but I can assure you that nobody in that family is a con artist, and they are not biologically related to Arthur in any way, which is completely contradicted by the contents in this documentary.
That's also something I would say to someone if I were trying to sleep with them.
Or get engaged to them. And be
I'm
like,
not
hey.
The grandson of a serial killer. Yeah.
If you and I have a baby, there's no chance there's going to be some weird biological defect that
unless
could
happen. Unless it gets bonked in the head.
Yeah. Or there's some sort of mother love.
But that's still like... like that, why even put yourself out there as being like, oh, yeah, so I'm engaged to one of these children, and it's just a very bizarre thing
it's
to
so
find.
Weird.
Yeah, a lot of people want to...
There's a lot of misinformation
this is a lot.
Around.
A lot of fake news happening.
Oh, this, yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, after watching this doc, I didn't feel like I knew that much more about Arthur Shawcross and why he did what he did.
No, I mean, the other fun. There's not a lot of fun things in this, but the Margaret Deming and one of the children get their photo taken with Arthur Shawcross, and the granddaughter has a Burzum t-shirt on, which, if you're not familiar, is a guy who did jail time in Norway for being a black metal dude who like killed someone and burned down a bunch of churches. So that's like, whoa. That granddaughter had a pretty fucking sick sense of humor to go visit
her
Shawcross.
Friends were so psyched when they saw that picture.
Yeah, they're like, her black metal friends. They're like, you got a picture with the guy who actually killed people. Oh, man.
That's nuts.
She's like, his blood runs through my veins.
Yeah. So anyway, she got arrested for stealing that food. And I haven't found anything else about her subsequent to that. And that was like, that case I thought was 2012.
Do you think he made any money off of his Andy Kaufman portraits?
Oh, yeah. So we didn't even get into that. There's an article in the New York Daily News also. Great source of material for all this stuff. People were buying the paintings of Arthur Shawcross. We found one that was Andy Kaufman with the neck brace. I think he's... And Allison pointed out that it looked like him. I'm like, is it because there's no neck?
Yeah.
Basically, it's just a flat sphere.
It's like Modigliani, but just, in reverse. He just gives everyone real fat heads.
Yeah, just cylinder from chin down. But he was selling them for like $550. There's a market. I found this. There's a market for serial killer paraphernalia or like a, you know, art, like, is that the right word, or just like memorabilia related?
Well, I thought there was a law against that now. Like, I know because John Wayne Gacy was drawing a bunch in prison.
Some of them can't capitalize off, like, they'll add something into the bargain when they go away or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like the Museum of Death has so many of. Have you been?
No, but my friend Mike Connolly works there actually.
It's amazing. I went there with my sister.
Where is it?
On Sunset?
It's on Hollywood and Gower.
Oh, yeah. In Rochester?
No,
LA. I think it sounds like Rochester is just a museum.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's in LA. How big is it? What's
it's
been meaning to
it
go.
Seems like it's as big as this house, but like it just the rooms go on forever.
Wow.
They have like you go in like a loop. There's one that's like Gigi Allen's funeral. It's very weird.
That's weird.
There's one room that is the there's one that's just serial killer art that they made in jail.
Okay.
Or prison. There's one room that's the Heaven's Gate people.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it's got...
The bunk beds and sneakers.
It's got the bunk beds with mannequins in it wearing the fangs with like the away team badge that they put on.
Yeah.
And away the sneakers team. And everything. And in the room, it's glassed off. There's a TV playing Marshall Applewhite. Talking.
Oh, the leader.
Yeah, he doesn't blink.
No,
period.
He's like the guy from Holy Hell.
Like
they have the same kind of eyes. Yeah,
like crate. Like,
okay. Would you rather be killed by someone who's blinking a lot, or not blinking?
I would go not blinking. They seem a little more compassionate.
I just like to feel seen. You know.
Yeah. I don't think Jim Jones blinked either, but he had sunglasses on, so it'd be hard to know.
Maybe he was blinking too much.
Yeah.
Put him on to hide it.
I got to go to Museum of Death. My friend works there.
It's so cool.
Sounds like it has a low ceiling.
Low ceiling, yes.
Yeah, so
you should start a comedy show there.
Yeah, perfect. I bet you, actually, that would be great if we could do it in front of the Heaven's Gate.
There's so much stuff. I just murdered the comedy show. There's a wall that's just car crashes.
Mm. What?
Just like photos from car crashes. Like people's heads popped off, like arms coming out of cars. It's crazy.
What we should do is interview Mike, actually.
Yeah.
He works there. And
you can talk about whatever his favorite thing is.
Maybe we could do a live true crime documentary podcast at the murder museum.
Dude.
I'm going to make a note of that.
I would drive down for that. That would be amazing.
If we can get a panel, we'll just... What if we do a panel on the bunk beds? That would be great.
All of us sitting on bunk beds?
Yeah. Must wear black Nikes.
Oh, man.
I want to be the home team, though. I don't want to be on the away team. Speaking of which, I do want to talk about... That's a weird segue, but I do want to talk about this whole helicopter business and how they eventually caught...
Right.
It was different from the way I had heard it growing up.
Okay, what did you hear growing up?
I heard that they caught him, they found the body, then they, instead of just like coming and getting the body and like digging it out of the ice, they staked it out for a few days, and then he came back and was on the bridge jacking off above the body.
That's close to what the documentary says.
I mean, but based on this
documentary. But what's the real truth?
I mean, I wouldn't say this documentary had all accurate information in it. So, because the documentary says he was urinating out of the car.
Right.
Urinating, jacking off.
Yeah. Well, and also they just happened to be flying over when they saw the body in the ice.
How fortuitous.
And then noticed that there was a car with a door open and a man peeing on the bridge.
Yeah. Also, dudes pee off bridges all the time.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I mean, the thing that they were pointing out was just, it was just this thing of the FBI profiler, I think that was McGrary in that case, being like, I don't know if McGrary actually worked on this
case.
That's
the one where you do see her body under the ice.
You did see it? I feel like I couldn't see it.
I couldn't see it either.
You could see it in the faraway one, but not in the close-up one. Mm.
Yeah.
But it looked like she was wearing clothes, so maybe she was just very pale. But
it was just the FBI profiler said that he was going to definitely come back because he'd come back in every other case.
Yeah.
And
right.
So they did. Yeah. Like the staking out thing seems plausible. But I'm just actually trying to remember if McGrary actually worked on this case or if he's just like a consultant who
it
talks
seems like
about.
They were just talking to
yeah,
him.
Yeah. He's just a guy
stuff.
Who likes talking about.
He's the kind of guy that would just take $100 to come to. Sit in your documentary and talk for a little bit, you know.
God, that sounds fun.
It does kind of.
Let's be like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's a fucking psycho.
Yeah. Apparently he claims that he told his daughter, Maggie Deming apparently knows what happened with the
He was just teasing about that.
You think so?
He's like, well, I tell her, but I don't tell you. Like,
is he just fucking with the
I
guy?
I think he's just fucking with most people.
No. Yeah. Well, plus he got an opportunity to leave his cell. You know, like, who wouldn't do that and be like, yeah, I'm just going to talk to this British fuck, you know?
My home ec teacher, in high school, her husband was a prison guard at Sullivan's Correctional Facility guarding Arthur Shawcross.
Oh, whoa.
She said that, but then I looked up and, like, Sullivan's in near Ellenville, which is, like, 4 hours away, so I don't even know how that would work. But that's what she said.
Yeah. It seems like everyone...
Everyone's got a Shawcross story.
Everyone wants a story about it.
Yeah. And her husband was a prison guard, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like people want something. It's one thing that this town's known for.
This is why we all want the alphabet killer caught, so that we can all have a story about that, because our Shawcross thing. It's been 30 years.
We were less than 2 minutes into the flight from Northampton Park back to Rochester when we flew over Salmon Creek. And underneath the bridge, I could see a body frozen in the ice. The passenger door was open, and it appeared that he had been urinating out of the car. And that's what we could see. And as the helicopter flew by, he closed the passenger door and slid across into the driver's seat and started to proceed easterly on Route 31.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Have you ever heard anyone in your circle of friends or anyone having a run-in with any famous serial killers?
Oddly enough, yes.
Yeah, what have you heard?
Well, I just 2 days ago, I was talking to a comedian at the Punchline, and he had been doing shows in Anchorage, and one of the group of guys
up there.
What's that?
There's so much murder up there.
Oh my God! There is. That's where everyone goes really to go murder people.
Yeah,
is Anchorage. It's like that's like.
There's no sun.
No, you get that's like going from the farm team to the the professional team. You know, to Anchorage, you know, this is just all farm team here. Mm-hmm. But he was up there, and he one of the people in the entourage that would hang out all the time ended up being a serial killer, and killed 10 women.
What's his name?
I don't remember. But Carlos Rodriguez
is a comic.
Who's a comic? Uh-huh. Brett Ernst was the guy that was.
Who's your killer friend? Yeah,
it was Brett Ernst that was telling us the story. Oh, okay. But he, when the news came out, he was like, boy, that guy looks familiar. And then started looking through his pictures. And there's a picture of him, with his arm around everybody and this group shot. And he ended up being a serial killer.
That's so cool.
I know. Isn't that nuts?
I mean, terrible, whatever. Yeah.
I feel like someone we know in the open mic scene is. If they are not currently a
name,
serial killer.
Names. No.
More, they're more school shooter style.
You're right.
There's
they're
so many failed school shooters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like that's a different category.
That is a fucking riot. That is so true. If for those people listening who don't understand the comedian world, there you go in a nutshell.
The New York Times just did an article about open mics.
Oh, God,
it's
I haven't read
horrible.
That.
Oh, my God, it's so
did
bad.
Did the writer do one? Because that's the only thing
he
that
comes
would make
at it with
bit.
The ugh, of someone who's done 2 open mics.
Okay.
And just 2.
Yeah.
I grew up in a town in Michigan where we had a serial killer, but it was the 1800s. Or 1900s, and he killed a few people and then went to Europe, and that's one of the first transcontinental telegraphs was about him.
Cool.
And it was you've got a killer on your boat kind of thing.
Oh, really? A guy from Michigan. So did he get arrested at the port?
Yeah. Okay. He got arrested, and he's in Madame Tussauds Wax Museum because it was the first...
The one here or the one there?
One there, I believe. It was the first transcontinental telegraph was about this guy.
That's so cool.
Because he was on the ship at the time.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So,
Native of Michigan.
Coldwater, Michigan, yep. So the northern states, that's where you got your
killers.
There's
a lot of really good ones from here, too.
Oh, from California?
We got Zodiac.
Oh, yeah. There's so many.
They think Joseph Nazo, the alphabet guy, might have been the Zodiac, too. Same time period. But there's
some shapes.
They think everyone might have been the Zodiac.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's, they did a live episode of My Favorite Murder, and Dave Anthony was talking about one that was up at Mount Tam.
Oh, I did
the
listen
hiker
to that
one.
Episode.
Oh, it's so
Oh,
creepy.
Yeah. I've been on Mount Tam.
I listened to that one with 2 other female comics driving on windy road, not to Santa Cruz, but to Boulder Creek, which you can only get to at the loops are this.
Yeah, they're
cut back.
I thought I was going to throw up the entire time. Oh. And it's dark, and we're listening about murder in the woods.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Have you ever been to Anderson Valley, the brewery in Anderson Valley?
No, but I do love their Boont Amber.
Oh, their Boont is amazing. But getting there is the same thing.
Oh,
it's in the mountains.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No more mountains.
I love the woods, but no.
But I don't understand. So what was
the Mount Tam killer?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the
killed
name.
Killed hikers.
Yeah, I killed a bunch of hikers.
When?
In 82?
When Dave 83? Anthony was like a kid.
Yeah, pretty early.
They all used to 80s. Hang out there, and then they couldn't for a while.
Right. Yeah, and I think he got like 7-8 people.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They caught him from like his army glasses.
Oh, that's right. Glasses, yeah. Because one person got away.
Yeah.
You gotta always
and got some.
He was like picking hikers off that were hiking with their friends, and like they had a friend behind them and a friend ahead of them.
Yeah, real bad.
And just like boop, you're gone. Literally, they get to the top and they're missing one.
The caboose is just dead, picked off.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the caboose on that.
Would he shoot them or would he grab them?
I think he's just a big dude who just grabbed people.
Grab them, maybe slit their throats.
Jesus. Whoa!
You got. We'll send you a link to this.
Yeah,
we'll make a link to this.
You got
to
stick together. Very good.
If you like these topics, you should definitely hear this. Long episode.
We're trying to get Karen. We need to get Karen.
Get Karen.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try.
I've tried.
And she's like, "Don't talk to me."
No, she. I saw her. She said, "I sent her an email, and I saw her that day at Guy Branum's taping." And she said, "Hi, George." And then I didn't.
She's busy.
Hi.
Follow up on that. Hi.
But that is the capture of Shawcross. I was just like, that's just such a weird story that they just happened to be flying over random bridge. Yeah. So they must have been staking it. I believe that more. I believe they had a stakeout and he was jacking off more than the random flyby.
I choose to believe the thing I was told.
Yeah.
You can usually tell if you've seen someone peeing and jacking off, right?
Yeah,
right?
Usually.
If it's out of a
peeing,
car door.
There's like a steady stream
I don't
for a
use
while.
My hands when I pee. man.
Have your
it was
body
snowing,
frozen under ice,
so.
Though.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, God.
Did you, Allison, did you see Making a Murder? Did you watch it?
I did.
What'd you think?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It was like
such
so heartbreaking and like frustrating. And that's everything.
Everything
I want.
It's everything. It's 10 episodes of everything.
Yeah. Just like the criminal justice system and like murder. It's great.
And the DA. I mean, everyone, they all seem like it was stereotypes of a script, you know?
They make it really interesting just because like the murder itself is like
not interesting at all.
Yeah. It's not that sexy.
No.
Now, did you ever want to do criminal law? Did you think about it? No. So it's just like
the first year of law school just like ruined Law and Order for me. Like, right. I can't watch it now without being like, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's
right.
wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's.
They don't. And it's not fun. Courtroom criminal is not fun.
It's
not fun.
I feel like the first
thing. I did family law, which was actually way more fun and way more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, families.
Oof. Oh, yeah.
I almost feel like when the wave of, like, CSIs and things started happening and, like, all the forensic stuff started hitting, that was maybe, like, late 90s, early 2000s, right?
Yeah, I was in high school when the, like, CSI Las Vegas came out, so like they had been around for a while.
They've been around for a while, so just and then Law and Order is probably the other big one. I feel like people got very into this stuff from that angle, and then that might be fueling some of this true crime fandom.
People
now.
That grew up on it, and like everyone's got a story and like of like somebody from their hometown.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
do you have any other favorite true crime documentaries?
The one thing that they kind of leave a little vague and that he won't really talk about is the first two killings, Jack Blake and
Karen Hill
of Watertown,
and
New York.
That's basically like where the pushy British guy just is like, I think I got enough to edit around.
Right. Yeah. Now I need a walkout.
Just keep pushing you. Yeah. So it looks like I'm doing my job.
Yeah. It's hard to make Arthur Shawcross look good. And somehow he managed to at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
He has some.
What
some
if your children
boundaries.
Were killed?
Yeah. And I was like, he's just gonna walk out, and there he goes, and him and his giant nose are going back to the cell.
God. Mm-hmm.
That nose looks like it, but like it was also like those early Vietnam, post Vietnam pictures were creepy. I mean, seeing him skinny,
he was like kind of strapping.
And
like, I can see how he got the first two wives.
He must have some game. He must add game for sure.
Yeah, because
he had all kinds of ladies.
I thought he was winking at me.
Constantly winking.
With both of his eyes.
It also seems like they were like, was he insane? It's like he killed fucking 11 women. Of course, don't you have to be insane?
Well, the like criminal law, the legal definition of insanity is like he wasn't
in his right mind.
He wasn't in his right mind. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, like, couldn't have discerned right from wrong.
Which is so dumb, because he obviously knew what he was. He was
hiding. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. But that's the thing. Like, if you're found not guilty by reasons of insanity, you still go away.
Right. Yeah.
And you go away for an indeterminate amount of time to a state hospital.
And
which
you have evaluations. And
is there a death penalty in New York?
I don't know. Okay. They might have changed it.
That might be why. I feel like he would have. Yeah. If there was, he would have got a death penalty for killing all the people that he confessed to killing.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. And not that I'm pro-death penalty. I am not pro-death penalty. I just wondered why. 250 years? I want to see someone who makes it to, 150 years just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
So actually, prison's been really good for my metabolism.
I was looking at a Wikipedia the other day. A guy in Australia that killed 34 people. It's a super insane story.
Is it not the 96 mass shooting?
It is the 96 mass shooting, which starts with the Australian Grey Gardens situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy's name is, I don't remember.
Australia has some crazy serial killers.
It's named after
Case File True Crime is my favorite podcast. The guy's voice is so soothing and he just talks about horrific crime.
It's an Australian podcast.
Yeah. Their most recent episode is about the Port Murray.
That's what it is. Port
yeah. Murray. He went away.
They changed their gun laws. Everything that happened here. No one changes gun laws here.
He got sentenced to 1,034 years.
Because they don't have the death penalty.
If he was a Highlander...
That's why he was killing those people.
Yeah. He wasn't using a sword.
That's the nerdiest.
He got the Grey Gardens house and is I live here forever.
Yeah.
I do a really good Australian accent.
wait, do it again.
I was like, that was Katharine Hepburn.
We can alienate our 8 Australian listeners. Yeah, Bogan, I had to kill you.
Put another vagina
on the... Put a chav in the hoodie.
Put a chav in the hoodie? Do they say chavs, too? Yeah.
No, and only British
That's
people
a British
do.
British chav thing.
Chavs. Well, I think this is it. I think we've...
That's it! I'm done! I'm walking away!
Tell us...
Boom. You're done!
Tell us...
Guard!
Tell us about...
Get me out of here, guard! That is how it ends.
Oh, yeah.
And then that shitty guitar comes back in.
There's that one time in the middle where they're showing the B-roll of the river again, and it was like...
You like the B-roll making a murderer, though. You like all the... They actually give the atmosphere.
Because it was seasonal B-roll. Yeah. The Genesee River only looks like that, a month out of the year.
Right, usually it's frozen. And,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's very pretty.
Yeah,
it's very pretty,
Sam Patch used to jump off those waterfalls.
Who did?
There's a guy named Sam Patch who was the first daredevil in the United States.
Oh,
he's buried in Rochester.
Murdered by
a daredevil.
Nature?
Daredevil had to get
he
murdered.
He jumped off waterfalls and died doing that.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That
he
waterfall.
Jumped off Niagara
himself.
Falls.
Yeah. By himself.
What's that?
He jumped off Niagara Falls.
But just on his lonesome?
Oh, he's the barrel people?
No, he was just jumped.
Oh, jeez.
Off the cliff and lived most of the time.
Whoa.
There's a good drunk history about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they... Huh. That's cool. Was it in the... Were they in Rochester or was it just when they were just
They're doing... in someone's house and Glendale,
right. Yeah, talking to somebody. Well, speaking of drunk history,
your credits.
Yes, those are my credits. Speaking of my credits, that and the Todd Glass Show.
Let's talk about Looking season 2 episode. my one credit.
Well, Allison, this has been great. Thank you so much
for being here.
Yeah,
having
for the
on
bread.
Your podcast.
Thank you for staying alive.
Yes,
no,
you made
problem.
It out of Rochester.
Yeah, and then I moved here, and they never caught that Zodiac,
I feel like the murders that happen here are not passion-based.
There is a weird subset of the My Favorite Murder group that believes that Michelle McNamara, Patton Oswalt's wife...
Was murdered.
Was murdered.
The fact of what she was working on.
She was so close to finding out who the Golden State Killer was.
Very strange. It is very strange.
Yeah.
But also, he was in the house, so I don't know how that could have.
And the toxology report. It seemed like
they're that's what they want you to believe.
Yeah,
I love truthers of all forms.
Yeah,
anyone who's got an unpopular.
She wrote
opinion.
True crime novel books, nonfiction though.
Blogs mostly.
All blogs.
Yeah, and then this case was the Golden State Killer. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there was the East Side Rapist in Sacramento, and then she connected all of these cases that were all through California and. Figured out they were all the same guy.
Wow. Crazy.
Who would be Not even that old. He's like 60 now. Like, that's not.
Do the Bay Area people, they talk about, does this get brought up on the show or does this get brought up on like a forum or something?
In the
or?
Facebook group.
On the Facebook group.
Oh, there's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Of murder theories.
Awesome.
A lot of murder theories.
And then the Facebook group got so big that there's like 40, like maybe 15 offshoot Facebook groups where ones that are just about murders, ones that are just about like murderino fashion, ones that are about, there's the Bay Area group. They had Whoa. A meetup yesterday before the Fox Theater show. And I couldn't go.
What's the Fox? What was the Fox?
My Favorite Murder did a live show.
They sold out the Fox.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I had Karen playing in the basement of a video store. And now she's selling out the Fox.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was just last night?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I didn't go.
Yeah, well, I didn't either.
I would be kind of worried that someone might go being like, I'm just kind of banking ideas from this. Like, I'm going to, like, find out different ways you could kill. A lot of those killings were in the 70s when there wasn't, like, you know, cell phones or anything. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's what... Hopefully that's not why people listen to true crime stuff, is to get inspired.
Yeah. Hopefully not. I think... Yeah. Yeah, I think most of these guys have their own little ways and strategies.
I've been talking about it on stage a lot. It was, like, murder stuff. And it's like, it's dumb. Like when people are like, oh, do you like murder because you're a murderer? It's like, it's dumb. Like, it's dumb to talk about murderer and then murder and then murder people. Like,
yes.
What you got to do is to talk about murder, talk about how it's dumb to murder, talk about murder, then murder people, and then murder people.
If I was going to murder somebody, I would not talk about it on stage. That's my thing. That's my promise to people.
I'm only into this because I'm afraid of being killed, and I want to know every single way I could possibly be killed.
That's more of like the thought that I have. It's like it is a kind of an OCD of like almost like a, you know, agoraphobia or something.
Well, most of the people that are super into true crime are women because they're like, well, that's one way I'm not getting killed because now I know.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
One of the worst things I've done lately is listen to this YouTube video of horrific 911 calls.
Oh, God, they're awful. They're so bad.
Awful. I couldn't even sleep. My roommate, she loved listening to those things. She's like, we got to listen to one together. I did. Ugh. And she was like, good night. And I'm like, I'm just going to stay up for a while.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
You also watched this like really high last night.
Right? I did. I ate a fucking gummy, edible gummy and flipped out, which was.
I think that Herzog one would have been better to watch on a edible.
Which one?
The internet one.
Lo and Behold?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's so good.
Dude, we're all connected.
Yeah.
There's solar flares. Watch out.
I love that. That one's
like
great.
It's like a Hitchhiker's song.
The volcanoes one was not my favorite, but the Lo and Behold is really good.
Having not seen the volcano one, I've heard the opposite. I've heard people say they like the volcano one.
Oh, really?
More than this one. But we're going to do this one in a couple episodes. Yeah. You'll hear it in a couple weeks.
Cool, cool.
And you'll hear this. This is thank you for being part of our Mayhem
Yay!
Series.
Yay, thank
murder
you.
Thank you.
Mayhem of May.
Murder Ooh. Mayhem of May. Thanks, Allison.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, Allison.
Mick. Oh, there's an alliteration. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
You can find more episodes of SupDoc, show notes, updates, and more at supdocpodcast.com.
We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at supdocpodcast.
And you can also email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com if you have show notes, corrections, or if you want to hear us talk about a specific documentary.
We also appreciate anyone who can donate to our Patreon. Check out patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
And if you can't donate financially, please just like and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you find podcasts.
Thanks also to Documentary News for their ongoing support of the show.
Yeah, and the show is produced by Will Scoville.
Our theme music is by David Siegel, and this special Mayhem remix is by listener Kevin Colson.